24, verse 36 through 44. And will James, will you come up and read it for us?
But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So the Advent season is upon us, and I must admit it kind of snuck up on me. I was more busy preparing to go to my in-laws for Texas that some of the things that needed to be done at the church didn't get done. I'm so thankful for the college and young adults who gathered last evening and before they had their fellowship time, helped me decorate the church, put the tree up, some wreaths up, and things in the fellowship hall as well. The Advent season is the time where we celebrate love and hope and peace and joy, and it was wonderful to have Tanya and Brian and baby Christian light the candles, especially these candles of love and hope. And we continue to worship together as a wonderful experience during this Advent season as a church family. But I want to talk about something to remind us that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. And I heard a thing recently that said Jesus Christ, his birth wasn't planned, wasn't expected, wasn't this great thing that the world prepared for as we do now today to celebrate his birth. But instead, the birth of Jesus Christ was what they called a holy interruption. And I'm going to talk about what it means that Jesus Christ was a holy interruption. But first, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that they speak of your wisdom, that they reflect of the scriptures. And Lord, we ask that you know the reflections we have on our own hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So what is, you might wonder, a holy interruption? A holy interruption is when God acts in our lives in an unplanned, an unexpected, and even sometimes an unwanted way. He interjects something into our lives or makes something happen or puts someone into our lives that interrupts our lives, but it is something that we cannot ignore. We must stop what we are focusing on, whether it's work or school or paying the bills or raising the children or doing all those everyday things that we sometimes get so caught up in, but then stop, have this holy interruption, and refocus ourselves on God. They say that when Jesus was born, the people and the times, they were going through so many things. If you know, many people, even before Jesus was born, thousands of years had talked about this coming of a Messiah, the birth of a Savior, a person who was to save God's people. The prophet Isaiah spoke in 9, verse 6, For unto us a child will be born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in Micah, he also says in 5:2 in Micah, But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, through you a small, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And even in Samuel, we hear the words in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 13, that when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body and will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. For many years and many centuries, people had spoke of this coming Messiah, a person whose kingdom would be established, a person who would be ruler over all of Israel, a child to be born, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But we know when Jesus was born, people were not prepared in this way. They had heard through the centuries and all the stories and all the words of the prophets had been passed down. So you think people would have been prepared, would have been expected. But they had no idea when and where and how these things would happen. So Jesus' birth, in a way, was a holy interruption. It was a holy interruption to his parents, who, as young couple, were planning to get married and had this virgin birth. A holy interruption, you would definitely say. Not in the plans of Mary and Joseph that they were being wed, to have Mary suddenly pregnant, a virgin birth. And then to have where Jesus was born, not in the place that they had lived, but in the hometown of Bethlehem that they had to return to, so Joseph could be counted in this census. It was a holy interruption, not a place where they probably had planned to give birth to their son. And then where he was born itself was in a different place. It wasn't an inn, it wasn't a hospital form, it wasn't a nice place, but instead he was born in his stable. An innkeeper who opened his heart and said, I have no room in my inn, but a place here in the stable. And Jesus was born in the manger, a holy interruption again. Jesus was a holy interruption to the people of his time and is in a way a holy interruption to us as well. Something that was unexpected, something that was unplanned, and even something that was unwanted by many people who feared a coming of a Messiah. When you think about holy interruptions and how they can't be planned and how they are unexpected, but yet how they change our lives completely and make us focus more strongly on God, we need to welcome holy interruptions in our own lives as well. I shared with you what happened with me this past week of Thanksgiving, and it's so nice that while I was away, I'm thankful for Terry and May and Jean, who brought a message of stewardship and knowing that the church was in good hands with all the leaders present. And when I came back, many people asked how your Thanksgiving week was. And it's a tricky way to answer because the first part of Thanksgiving was wonderful. I had a wonderful time with Phil and my in-laws and my sister-in-law, who got married last year, and getting to know her husband much better. It was a great time. My mother-in-law is the super-duper homemaker. She made homemade stuffing and homemade cranberry sauce and a large 15-pound turkey, and not just one or two, but three homemade pies. She did all this on her own. It was a wonderful Thursday of Thanksgiving, and during this time I had been sometimes distracted because I had a really good friend. Her name was Shannon. And my good friend Shannon, who I'd known since college years, 3 years ago, was diagnosed with cancer. She was in a trip, having a trip in Chicago, and she slipped and fell on ice and had a horrible headache during that trip. And she just thought it was because she had slipped on ice and hit her head. She didn't think anything of it. And on the last day of her trip, as she was trying to zip up her jacket, her hands were shaking and suddenly became numb, and she wasn't able to zip up her jacket. Our friend Candy, who she was visiting, quickly rushed her to the hospital. They thought she might have been having a stroke or something. And the doctors found out that she actually had a tumor in her brain, and that was what was causing the numbness and the shakiness of her hands. That was 3 years ago, and with the diagnosis, she's had surgery, she had treatments, but nothing worked. And on Saturday morning, when I was in Texas with my in-laws, I got the message that my friend Shannon had passed away. I just saw her 2 weeks earlier bringing her communion because she was no longer able to go to church, and she always loved going to church. Sorry, I didn't expect this to happen. So I was told her family wanted a quicker funeral service and made plans to return to California by Tuesday to help the family plan the service and speak at the service on Thursday. Thanks. And as a minister, having done many funeral services, I don't cry often. You know you need to be the strong person for the family who you are helping during the funeral service. But this was different because it was a loved one who had passed away. So planning the service, I was fine, and speaking to the parents before, the days before, I was fine. But when the day of the service came, I wasn't so fine. You know, when I saw her mother at the chapel where the service was happening, I began to cry. But then I stopped and said, I'm okay. And then I saw the slideshow that they were showing, and I cried, and then I stopped and I said, okay. And the service began with a wonderful woman who played ukulele and sang the song, It's a Wonderful World, and I started to cry again, and I stopped and said, I'm okay, because I knew I had to speak later. I was one of three speakers that was to speak about Shannon. And her brother went before me, and I thought, oh, this is going to be okay, because Sean, her brother, has a great sense of humor. He's going to make me laugh. He's not going to make me cry. And he even had a great story about when he and Shannon were growing up, they were trying to convince their parents to let them have a pet. And the parents said, no, you're too young, you're not responsible enough. So Shannon and Sean, one day, they caught a fly in a paper cup. And they said, let's try this out. If we can help this fly, you know, it'll be our pet. And they fed it, he said, American cheese slices and little drops of water. But by the second day, the fly had died, and they knew their parents were right. So that did make me laugh, but it also made me cry because it sounds like it was something Shannon would do. And then I talked about my interaction with Shannon. And Shannon, in a way, was a holy interruption in my life. I was a year ahead of her at college, and I was involved with the campus ministry. And the campus ministry had a thing where sophomores and juniors were asked to mentor freshmen. And so my campus minister asked if I would be a mentor, a prayer partner with Shannon. And I thought, oh, no, I can't do this. I don't have time. I'm taking a full workload of 18 units. I had started a part-time job as a middle school youth director at a church nearby. I was going back and forth from Long Beach, where I was at school, and seeing family and friends in Cerritos. I didn't have time in my life to mentor someone. And then when I met Shannon, we would gather at these Bible study gatherings, and she did the funniest thing. We had these prayers where the prayers always started with an I. They were printed on a card, and you took turns reading the prayer. So it was sort of, I love Jesus, I believe in the Lord, I trust in the Lord, all these I statements in our prayers. But the I was in an italic cursive, and it looked kind of like a J, but everyone knew it was an I, except Shannon. So every time she read the prayer, she would say, J, trust in the Lord. J, follow Jesus. J, I believe. It was the funniest thing, and I and the other students would laugh under our breath at her. And she kept doing it after multiple Bible studies, till finally when she caught on and we couldn't control our laughter anymore. She laughed with us. She stopped and she looked at us and said, no, no, I did that on purpose, even though you know she didn't. She said, I meant to say J, because J is for Jesus, and all prayers should start with Jesus. She silenced us in our laughter, and I knew at that point that I wanted to be her mentor. She was a holy interruption in my life, and yes, took a lot of time. We had wonderful lunch gatherings. We would go shopping together. We had prayer hours together. It was a wonderful time for me to mentor her and to grow in my own faith. And I believe led to my own call to ministry. But she was a holy interruption, something I didn't want to focus on, something that I didn't expect in my life, but something that God sent to me because it was needed. When Jesus was born, Jesus was in holy interruption as well, something that God sent to the people because it was needed, to refocus them on God, to refocus his parents, the innkeeper, the shepherds, the wise men, all who encountered Jesus. They experienced the holy interruption of Jesus in their lives, unexpected, unplanned, maybe even unwanted, but yet they were transformed by that holy interruption of Jesus. We know how important it was to see how people were transformed when they encountered Jesus. It's wonderful. During this Christmas season, we'll have a couple of skits and plays that will be happening. Next Saturday, the college and young adult group will do a skit for the children's choir Christmas celebration. It's kind of interesting. They're doing it from the point of view of the animals who encountered Jesus. We'll have donkeys and sheep and different barnyard animals. And for some reason, and I'm quite not sure why, I think Aaron has chosen to be a panda. And I don't know if there were pandas in this stable. But he's going to be a panda. Am I right? Is that what Aaron was saying last night? And then the following Christmas, 2 weeks later, during Christmas Sunday, we know that the adult Sunday school class will also be putting on a skit about the shepherds and the wise men and how they were after they encountered and were transformed by Jesus. All these people were transformed by Jesus. They experienced this holy interruption that changed them. They encountered Jesus. They were taught how to refocus and to learn what was more important in your lives, because then holy interruptions can happen. So in this morning's passage, when Jesus is walking and talking with the disciples, they are questioning him, as they often do. They had just left the temple and were now in the garden, and the disciples were truly discerning and questioning what Jesus was teaching them. As they had exited the temple, Jesus had talked about the destruction of the temple that was to come and the Son of Man that was to come and save all. And the disciples were worried and they were concerned and not even sure what Jesus was saying to them. So in this morning's passage from Matthew 24, 36 to 44, they are asking him about when that hour, that time will come. They say, "But about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven or the Son, or only the Father knows." And Jesus tells them, "For as the days of Noah's war, so will be the coming the Son of Man. For we know that in those days before the flood, the people were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving into marriage until Noah himself entered the ark. The people were filling their lives, focusing on other things, on the food to fill their bellies, on the drinks to make them happy, on the marriages that they thought they needed and sought out, devoting themselves to flesh and other persons instead of God. So when the flood came, none of the people we know were prepared. It was a holy interruption that ended their lives. So the disciples then are concerned and they're worried. What does this mean for us? Will our lives end? And Jesus is teaching them. He says, no, it will be end in a different way. Think about two in the field. One will be taken, but one will be left. Two women grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. He warns them to keep awake, therefore, for you do not know what day the Lord is coming. This is what's called the necessity of watchfulness, to be watchful. He says, just as a homeowner knows, does not know what part of the night the thief comes to break into his house. If he had known, he would stay awake and would not let his house be broken into. Jesus is reminding the disciples to be prepared, to plan in a way. And the only way you can do that is to remain faithful to God. And he is challenging them to be faithful to God, to follow the right rules, not the laws and commandments set by the people, but the laws and the commandments set by God. For he reminds them, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. You do not want to be left behind. You want to be accepted by God at his throne to be with the Son of Man who was to come. Jesus was this holy interruption in the lives of the disciples, just as he is a holy interruption in our lives as well. If you know, if you truly know what it means to commit to Jesus Christ, you know it is a sacrifice on your own part as well. To be in worship together each Sunday, to continue to be studious and read the Bible, to do spiritual disciplines to grow in faith and to draw closer to Jesus Christ. To say you truly accept Jesus Christ in your heart means you follow all these things because you are faithful and because you are dedicated. And God places in our lives all these holy interruptions. I continue with the sharing about my friend Shannon, who passed away. After the service, the family had requested that it just be the family who saw the casket put into the ground. So I and other friends decided then to gather at a restaurant nearby so the family could have their own time alone. The service was in Torrance, and I knew there was a great vegetarian restaurant in Redondo Beach. My friend Shannon was a longtime vegetarian, and we thought in her honor it would be good to eat at that restaurant. And so we went to the restaurant, and it was a little bit frustrating because there was a Christmas celebration happening. And I want to ask, who has a Christmas parade on a Thursday evening? apparently the city of Redondo Beach. So it took us a long time to park. We were not able to park near the restaurant. We had to park a couple of blocks away in a Smart and Final parking lot. And as we were making our way to the restaurant, we had to pass high school bands and high school cheerleaders. We saw three Santa Clauses. They were preparing a sleigh to be set up for the parade. And finally, I was so frustrated. We were at the restaurant a half an hour later. Thankfully, the restaurant saved our seat. My friends and I were still somber, but frustrated about what was happening. Sad from the funeral service, but frustrated about taking so long to get to the restaurant. And as I was being seated to our table, we passed another table that had Angela and her family. A holy interruption. A day that had been so sad for me, a day that had started also frustrating me for the dinner. Seeing the Johnson family was a holy interruption, a message from God that things are going to be okay, that His love is so powerful and so present that even in my deepest sorrow and greatest frustration, God reminds me that He is present. And it was so fun. Little Madeline, when I was sitting at my table two tables away, I could hear Madeline's voice say, "Where's Pastor Eva? Where's Pastor Eva?" It was a holy interruption that I definitely needed in my life that evening. And we need to be open to the holy interruptions that God places in our lives. Just as Jesus was a holy interruption on that Christmas day when He was born, we say the season of Advent is a time of preparation, and no matter how well we plan, the perfect Christmas tree, the great Christmas Eve service, the wonderful choir music, we still can be interrupted by God. So open your hearts and be prepared to be interrupted. For when we are interrupted, it's a reminder that we need to refocus ourselves, to not worry so much about church and work, and yes, I will talk about church finances later, but to trust in the Lord and to draw closer to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are remembering during this Advent season, in this busyness of preparing, in this busyness of having all things as we celebrate the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, to accept these holy interruptions in our lives in the wonderful and miraculous way that You work in our lives. The people that You put in our lives, the actions and events that take place in our lives, and the greatest event that we always must celebrate, not just Christmas Day, but every day, the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man who came to save the world. For us, we are forever grateful. As we go into this time of communion together, let us then also remember Your Son who has died on the cross for us, now and forever. Amen.